Loft Studios presents, in association with Deep Life Records and The Master Mix. Dance music, electronica, DJ culture, from a Christ-inspired perspective.
Welcome to Loft Studios Presents, show number 13. I'm Paul Cooper. Been listening to one of my old school tracks, Icon Feel It, and this is the Mark Webb remix.
Hello, so this is Clank and this is Loft Studios Presents, show number 13, and you've just been listening to I Can Feel It by Paul Cooper, and DJ Roo is with me.
Hi.
Leanne is not with us this month, he's having a month off, but as you've probably already heard, we have a very special guest who's going to be our interviewee and guest presenter, and that's Paul Cooper. So hello, Paul.
Easy now.
Very cool. So that's really great to have Paul with us this month, and he'll be sort of in Leanne's place. And we've got a live master mix from Paul later on in the show, so we're looking forward to hearing that. And so Paul, sort of, perhaps it'd be a good idea for those who know you or those who don't know you, if you can sort of perhaps tell us a bit about yourself and how you got into music and so on.
Right, okay. Well, I've been DJing now for probably nigh on 20 years, crazy as it might seem. I got into music back when I was 15, really, back in the late 80s. It was all good fun. The dance scene was quite fledgling then. It had only just pretty much started, and I got into it right back in the day, basically, you know, early house music, stuff from Chicago and Detroit, early tracks that were being produced over here at the time, and just started listening to the radio, funnily enough. Yeah, cool. And picking stuff up that I really, you know, listening to things that I really liked that were coming through, you know, on the radio. And that's how I got into it. So me and a few friends, we all got together and decided to start doing some DJing ourselves, started learning how to mix and so on and so forth, really, and it all kind of went from there, you know.
Cool. And so you actually produced tracks. How did you get into more the sort of production side of it?
Well, I started producing in about 93, 94, I'd say, and this was coming out of the DJing stuff that I'd been doing. I mean, by that time, I'd been DJing, I'd say, 5 or 6 years, like, you know, pretty prolifically, doing a lot of stuff, buying records week in, week out. You know, I was really keen, you know, a real enthusiast, really, for the whole scene and the the dance scene. And I thought, well, the next progression, the next part from this, you know, from this part onwards, I think that I probably want to get into some production and start trying to recreate my own tracks and cool. to do that, really, you know. So I bought, you know, well, we can talk about the technical things maybe later.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
But that's when I started getting into writing tracks, and I started off back 93, 94. I had plenty of tracks that I'd written just in a little bedroom studio. and a lot of those tracks came out in a, I would say, a more polished version, and a, you know, with vocals on as well, a lot of them, and that was on my debut album, Global Transmission, on D-Bass Records. Wow. And that came out in 95, 96, that one, yeah.
Wow, so you've been producing quite a long time then, and
and
some cool stuff.
Pretty much from that point onwards, I've always been like involved in producing tracks. I'm not such a prolific producer because it can take me a long time to do tracks, but as I've been known to be a bit of a perfectionist, you know, tracks just keep going on and on and on, but you know, as long as I'm happy with the results, and you know, other people are happy as well when they buy them.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah,
cool. And how does that sort of work into like the church that you're involved in and so on?
Yeah, well, it works in DJing wise, it works in well, because I've always been involved in either working the PA system, if it was like, you know, a regular sort of church service that I was going to, and I wasn't involved much in any other way apart from being a, you know, a member of the community. I've obviously got involved in doing like the technical side of things, which I can do. I haven't been so much leading worship, I would say, but in the church that I go to now, which is Visions, the Visions Multimedia Service, which is based in York at St Cuthbert's Church, I've been involved there DJing for a long time, and I play the services like it's like an ambient sort of meditative type of service, brilliant. And like we play all types of different chill out ambient tracks during the service, and I coordinate that and make sure you know that there's always like a you know, a soundtrack to the entire service as it goes along.
That's great, yeah, cool. And obviously you've in recent years become signed to Deep Life Records.
Yeah, that's
so what releases have you had out on those?
Well, that's been quite a recent thing really, like Deep Life. I got in touch with Andy T. I know that he was putting out a lot of Christian artist tracks, and I said that I was still producing tracks, and he was interested to hear what I'd done, so I sent him a few things and he really liked it, and he said, yeah, you know, if you want them releasing, like, we can go for that. So I've sent him I did a track, it'll be about 2 years ago now, called The Deep. That was 2007 that came out, and it's the sort of, you know, like a sort of quite a melodic tech housey type of track, but with a bit of a few people have said it's got like sort of quite, it's, it sounds a bit acidy as well.
Yeah, it's a nice track, I've heard it, we know it.
Yeah.
I think DJ Reeves played it, haven't you?
That's good, yeah. A few people have said that. I didn't, you know, it's like when I start off writing these sort of things, I have no idea. Obviously, my influences throughout the years of DJing and so on and so forth, and a lot of producers, I think, you know, that have been in the game for a long time, they always kind of, you know, hark back to the old styles and the old way of doing things, and that old school sound, you know, because that's like in the roots of how they got into it, and so I guess there is that influence in that track. So I did the track called The Deep, and then there was another one. I decided, I was just flicking through some DATs one day in the studio, looking through some old DAT tapes of when I made my album back in the mid 90s, and I came across like the vocals for a track that I did called Feel It, and I used to go under the name Icon, IKON. I got these DAT tapes, and I was amazed to find that I thought the vocals were still really sounding fresh and good, and thought they could be doing with being brought up to the 21st century, really,
yeah,
and
cool.
Get a remix. So I threw it out there on the Tasty Fresh website if anyone would be interested in doing some remixes, and talked to a few people, like, you know, in America and in the scene, if they knew anyone who might be interested, if anyone was still bothered or cared about the tracks, you know, that's kind of I was trying to gauge the level of interest first, and also get on some remixes on board that would do a good job, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, we'll see where we go. And around that time I met a guy called Mark Webb as well, who's a guy based in London now.
Yeah.
And
very cool producer.
Very good producer.
Yeah, so particularly electro house kind of styly.
Yeah, he's really like, I mean, he has been really doing very, very well. Yeah, for himself and producing some amazing tracks.
Yeah.
Very, very well respected in amongst the electro house scene, you know. And he's had stuff out on Cream compilations.
Yeah,
I think Ministry as well.
Yeah, Ministry, that's right.
Ministry sound stuff. He's got stuff out on there. So yeah, it's really, really good. Like, and I met Mark, and I sort of put it past the idea. It so happens that he'd heard of my stuff before. He'd heard of me and heard me DJing and so on. And he was interested in doing a remix. He said he'd love to. So brilliant. I thought, brilliant. We'll let him have a crack and see what goes.
Because we heard that at the beginning of the show. It's a real stunner track. So yeah, great
it is
stuff.
Awesome track. Yeah, very almost like underrated in a way, because I've had some good reviews come back from it, but it just needs to be out there a little bit more, I think. And hopefully we can push it, and we'll see what people think.
That's right. Well, speaking of pushing it, as many of the listeners will know, Clank, i.e. myself, through sort of circumstances out of my control, although it's obviously God's control, I now actually own or run Deep Life Records. And I'm sure most people listening will have perhaps be partly aware of the circumstances. I'm not going to go into all the details. It wouldn't be appropriate to do that. But basically, sort of baton's been passed on to me. And I never expected this to happen. All I was going to do was redesign their logo, and this is what's happened. And unfortunately, as many of you may know, a lot of our releases at this very moment are not available on a lot of stores. Unfortunately, through various circumstances, they're going to have to be resubmitted. And that would include the track we were just talking about by Icon, and many other tracks. So I'll just say to our listeners, just hang on in there. We are aware that there's a lot of missing tracks, but we're going to get them out. They'll be on iTunes and Masterbeat and DanceRecords.com, Beats Digital. So just keep an eye out for that. And basically, there's a new Deep Life logo, a new Deep Life website, which is now under the banner of A Lost Studios. So I thought I should just sort of officially talk about that on this show now. And then just a couple of other things from a news point of view. We mentioned Tasty Fresh a little while ago. Tasty Fresh has got 3 new podcasts out now each month, which you definitely want to check out. The first one's called Tasty Fresh Presents, which is presented by Kevin O'Neill. And he has a guest DJ each month that he'll be sort of bringing to your attention. Then Jay Puddy has got another show called Homegrown, where he does the same thing, but perhaps for lesser known DJs, sort of gives them a platform to be heard. And then Dave Richards himself is back with a new show called Fresh Beats, where he'll be playing promos and stuff that's reviewed on the Tasty Fresh site. So you really want to get on the download on those and subscribe for iTunes or wherever, for tastyfresh.com. Then one last thing, many of you out there may have heard of godsdjs.com, and again, this is a really good site to check out. There's a forum on there, there's profiles of lots of producers and DJs who are all Christians and in the dance scene, and there's live chat on there. And just big up to DJ Rodimus for setting this up. It's a really cool site. So anyway, let's get into the rest of the show.
Clank's Tracks.
Welcome to Clank's Tracks, and this is John Metcalf with his track A Whole Day Nearer. This is the Knitting Sawney remix. So this track is A Whole Day Nearer, a track by John Metcalf. John Metcalf is a really great musician and composer, works with classical and electronica and a whole field of musicians. And as you can hear, this is kind of orchestral drum and bass. Ruth and I saw him playing live in Leicester a few months ago. We spoke about the Bays and the Heritage Orchestra in a previous show, and he works with them. He's one of the orchestrators for them. And so this is from the album A Darker Sunset. It's kind of orchestral trip-hop and drum and bass and some really great stuff on there. You can find out about him at john-metcalf.co.uk. So that's it for Clank's Tracks. See you next month.
Hello, welcome to Talk Tech.
This is the part of the show where we talk about different gadgets or any new software that's coming out to do with DJing or producing. And as we mentioned earlier, we've got a special guest, Paul Cooper, with us this month. And he'll be bringing us a special master mix.
Yes, hopefully.
I'm sure it'll be excellent. So, Paul, I can see in front of me, you've got your Pioneer 100s. So, have you always DJed with CDs or have you used vinyl? Or?
Well, obviously, when I started off back in the day, it was vinyl only. That's all we had. Well, there were cassettes as well, but I think we're going into sort of disco dad territory there. But when I first got into it, it was just vinyl only, and vinyl's still a big part of the dance scene now. As I know, talking to jungle, you know, guys that play jungle and dubstep friends, you know. They're still buying vinyl now, which is pretty crazy. For me, it's like really strange to hear that, you know, that vinyl's still being pressed, produced and played. But now I moved over from playing vinyl to CD about 5-6 years ago now. Yeah. Made the full transition. I mean, there was a time I was DJing about 4-5 years ago, like I dropped occasionally. If I hadn't got something on CD, I'd be dropping it in on vinyl. Yeah. But yeah, no. I mean, most places now, you turn up to a bar in a club and they don't even have decks. So no. Some of them do, but it's rare these days. So it's all about the CDs now, and it's just, I found that it's really versatile as well. It's a good format to play on, especially with today's new technology. Yeah. I mean, I use, just at home, I've got my CDJ 100s, the Pioneers. They're basic decks, but they do the job. There's so much better gear now. Yeah, you can get, you know, stuff that loops. You can jump between loops. You know, you can almost remix a track on the fly as you're playing it. So yeah. There's some really good technology out there, like as far as CDs go. And, of course, laptops. Mm. That's the new thing. But
so would you ever think about progressing onto a laptop using software,
yeah,
and using MIDI controllers? Would you go that far yet, or do you not feel comfortable with that side of it?
I'd like to go down that route because, well, simply convenience way, it's just so much more convenient if you get it yourself. You know, you go onto Beatport, wherever, download your track, you're ready to play it out straight away. There's no burning to CD, which can be a real pain, you know, especially if you're doing it like 5 minutes before you set off to your gig, which I generally do. So I found it's like, you know, I would go down that route if I could be guaranteed of a stable interface, you know, a stable computer to play off, and some decent software and a good controller. I've seen some pretty good setups out there. I've yet to just be convinced, you know, just that last bit really. And then,
so what are you kind of interested in that you've seen?
Well, for me it'd have to be a PC, a laptop I would say, and well, I've used Traktor 3 and that's pretty good. Yeah. Native Instruments, Traktor 3, the software is really good. Something like that, I think, you know, it'd have to be pretty solid though, and make sure there'd be no jumps or skips or anything like that.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier that from DJing that kind of inspired you to produce your own tracks. So tell us about what you first started using when you first started producing.
Equipment wise.
What equipment you were using and how you've kind of progressed from when you first started and what you've kind of learnt really.
Yeah. Well, when I first started, first synth I bought, SH-101. I saw it in an old shop window. It was in a secondhand shop window in Leeds and I thought, brilliant, you know, what's that? And I was just magically drawn to it, you know. I just crossed the road, went straight over to the window and just stared at it, you know. And there'd be like a few days would go by and I'd keep going back and looking at the thing and going into the shop. I'd plucked up enough courage to go and ask the guy, you know, about this thing, whatever it was. I knew it was a synth, I knew it was a keyboard, but it was an odd looking piece of gear. And of course, the more I found out about, you know, what dance producers were using, the more I realised that was probably a good thing to start off with, and it was just the ticket that I needed to start writing my own tracks. So I bought this thing, I mean, years ago. I can't even remember the year. It may have been 1988, 1989, something like that. I got this thing and I used to just fiddle around with it and just, you know, create mad sounds, like create all sorts of sounds that are good stuff, but I couldn't do much else with it. So I knew I needed some rhythm. I saw someone who was selling a TR-808 drum machine. That's a Roland, and it's a classic drum box, you know, from back in the day. Produced thousands of techno and house tracks, especially, you know, it was perfect because it was just the sound that I wanted, and it was just the sound that I heard on the stuff that was coming out of Detroit and Chicago. Like the early producers like Adonis were using 808s, and I just love that sound. So I managed to get the SH-101, which is also a Roland synth. I used to manage to get that and the 808 hooked up, and once those things were just, you know, in sequence, then the third thing I bought was a little silver TB-303 acid box. That was great fun. So basically, I thought that, you know, for the time being, my setup was complete after I'd had these three devices and I'd make all sorts of crazy tracks. And I didn't have anything decent to master them to, so they just went straight onto a cassette, you know. It was great fun. It was good fun, good fun days. And I think, you know, producers that remember those days that may be listening will realise that, you know, there's a lot that we have so much now and so much flexibility and, you know, capability with modern software, but sometimes you just can't beat the old hands-on technique, you know, the sort of discovery of what happens when I plug this thing in here and push that wire in there, and all sorts of crazy stuff happens, and so many classic tracks have been produced by complete accident by doing just that. And so I started off with those three bits of gear, and then I met a guy called Tim Riches, who was a producer, and he produced a couple of albums, including he ended up co-producing my album in the mid-90s, and he taught me a lot about MIDI and about modern equipment. He was very cutting edge, and he was always at the sort of the helm of, like, you know, the newest and the best technology. So he was very focused on getting a MIDI studio up and running and using the latest software, and that was really good, really sort of getting to learn a lot of stuff off him. And so I eventually started buying a computer, like, and I got an Atari ST 1040 and a copy of Cubase, and I started using that. I don't know what version it was, but it was an old one, I know that. And so, and then the first MIDI thing I had, a Roland U220, I think, a sound module. And there's a lot of sounds that, you know, I used to just use that really in the studio, and you know, that's how I started off, pretty much, with MIDI, and I built up my collection of synths and samplers and so on and so forth, like, and it just went from there, really. And I bought quite a lot of gear, and, you know, I amassed quite a good studio, which I pretty much still have. It's just that I don't really have a lot of space now to get all that gear up and running all together in one room. But maybe in the future, you know, who knows. But these days, my setup is mostly based around a computer, a PC, and I use Reason version 3. I use Acid Pro 5 and Soundforge to do my editing. it's all based around there. I sample a lot of my old gear and I use it in that way, you know, in that method, rather than trying to use MIDI and trying to get it all in time, because I realise that MIDI, the timing of MIDI is pretty poor, and you know, when you, compared to modern day standards, like modern day tracks are very, very tight timing. It's not always a good thing, you know. You could argue that the old days were quite interesting because you know, you had more slip and groove and room in there in the tracks, but as from a DJ perspective, it's good because you know that stuff is rock solid timing, so it makes it easier for you to mix a track that which is produced using software and it's been synced, you know, to a rock solid synchronization key rather than, you know, a MIDI clock which tends to waver around a bit. So, yeah.
Nice one, so we look forward to hearing lots of future productions from yourself, and we'll keep an eye out for that and let everybody know when anything
That'll be good. I'll definitely be hitting the studio again in the next, this year, 2009. I'm working with all sorts of guys at the moment as well, like people, you know, they get to hear you're a producer and a DJ, so on and so forth, and you've got the skills in the studio, and people with a lot of talent but not so much technical skills always ask me, can you do this, can you craft a track out of my vocals and so on and so forth. I've been saying that a lot, actually. I'll stop saying that.
That's really good. Yeah, we look forward to hearing some stuff from you. Yeah,
I'd like to just get on and work with other people as well, you know, because I've worked on my own on solo projects for years now, and it does get a bit boring after a while. You need to collaborate with people, and it's the way forward, isn't it, really?
Well, thanks for that, Paul. It's been great talking to you about all the stuff that you've been up to.
Okay, thanks.
So that's all for Talk Tech this month. We'll see you next month.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master. Next.
This is Aloft Studios Presents, show number 13, with our live guest DJ, Paul Cooper. you're in the master mix with Paul Cooper.
We'll be right back.
been listening to DJ Paul Cooper in the Master Mix, part of Aloft Studios Presents show number 13.
Again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Next.
Aloft Studios presents.
So this is the events part of the show, and Paul, perhaps you'd like to tell us again about Visions that you're involved in.
Visions is a church which I go to, and I'm involved with helping out doing the DJing. And it's not, you wouldn't expect to hear any beat music there. It's pretty much ambient all the way through. So I'm playing like a real sort of laid back, ambient, chill out, tracks throughout the service, and you can get that if you want to have a listen, if you want to come along and see what we do. It's a sort of modern day multimedia type of service where we use visuals based on the around a church, normal Church of England service. It's really good. Yeah, if you're into sort of you just need space, it's meditative and relaxed and laid back. And that takes place at St Cuthbert's Church, which is in York, and it's on the Peacehome Green Road, and it's not far from the town centre, so it's fairly easy to find, and the web link will be in the show as well.
Yeah, that's right. The Lost Studios Presents page will have a link to Visions on there, so you can find out all about that. So, yeah, cheers, Paul. And we have one more event, which is actually something that Ruth and myself are involved in. It's something brand new called Electric Cafe, and that's, by the time you're listening to this, it may have already taken place, but it's going to be the 1st of February at the Elium Church, the Pentecostal church that we attend in Loughborough. And basically it's a little bit along the same lines of what Paul has been talking about. It's it involves chill out music, will be some dance tracks as well, even remixes of worship songs, but done in a completely different kind of style. And I'll be doing VJing there at this. And so yeah, come along, that's 6:30 at Elium Church Centre, Loughborough. And again, the details will be on our webpage. So that's it. And next month we'll be back to the sort of normal show. We hope to have Lee Ant back with us. And thanks, Paul, for being a guest. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you. Enjoyed coming and DJing for you.
It's been very cool.
You've been listening to Aloft Studios Presents. Remember to check out the following websites: aloftstudios.co.uk, deepliferecords.com, themastermix.co.uk. Thanks for listening. See you next time.